For me, you would never start the business or a whole project without a communication plan, a financial plan, how we talk, how we do meetings and all this kind of stuff. Nobody does it actually in the family or in the relationship, which is the most important project in your life.
Get Inspired, your podcast for more inspiration and your business talk about how to connect, how to empower and how to get inspired. With amazing guests interviewed by Ricarda, our founder of My Collective.
Micha Fritz is a real changemaker, an activist and entrepreneur who has founded a half dozen social businesses that are making the world better while supporting art and artists. He also actively supports diversity and knows that it starts at home, and he has some great insights into how we can be the change we want to see, including a business trick that his partner came up with to distribute their care work more evenly.
Welcome, Micha, in our Impulse session. Maybe a short introduction. Micha is a change maker, if I want to put it like this, in all the senses of what change can be made. And what I saw on how you put it on LinkedIn is a conceptual activist for a better tomorrow. And you're fighting specifically for access to water and better sanitation as a human right. Very much welcome to My Collective. So, Micha, I've had a look at all of the elements of what you're doing in terms of fighting for access to water. And I've seen a lot of names popping up, not only Viva Con Agua, which was probably the first enterprise that you founded, but also Goldeimer, Villa Viva, VCX. And you're also a super active dad and a co-parent, and you also talk about it on social media. And I would like to talk about all of that with you, but maybe we can start with Viva Con Agua. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you're doing there and why it is that you started it?
Yeah, first thing is maybe but it says a lot about Viva Con Agua, with a small correction. We are mostly not fighting. We are more like dancing or celebrating, because we try to transform the world in the most positive ways. Sometimes you come to limits, like when you see Ukraine, when you see racism, sexism and stuff like that. But when it comes to clean drinking water and sanitation, I think it's mostly possible to have a positive communication and to attract people with joy, with inspiration, with the universal languages of art, music, culture and so on. Why we started it? Basically, because there was nothing like Viva Con Agua 15 years ago, 16, 17 years ago, 2005. Benjamin, friend I grew up together, he was playing for FC São Paulo, and we wanted to do something together for a social cause with his position as a professional soccer player in the heart of Hamburg, São Paulo, which is really like connected to the whole music scene. And then it came and went bigger and bigger. It was nothing planned. Honestly, the first thing we did was electro parties when we were like 22. We had no intention at all to found a foundation, a social business. We didn't even know what social business was. Actually, there was almost no social business back in the days. So Viva Con Agua, with selling bottled water or selling toilet paper or selling arts in the Minotto Gallery or selling soon hotel rooms or already selling it in Cape Town or selling music, is like one of the first social businesses actually in Germany. There was not this solution of showing that old school charity can come across in another DNA, because the most biggest problems or why I have with charity is most of the time a guy like me, and you already did it in your Who Am I or however you say introduction, is people get portrayed as he's doing charity, he's the savior and all this bullshit, which comes basically along with charity, because there's a lot of protection going on. It gets better because I work in the arts world, almost the biggest projection, then music becoming bigger and bigger, and then soccer and celebrities. It's why I tell that, because it has a lot with the whole style. So there are charity dinners that cost a lot of money, and you ask yourself, okay, this is the budget for the charity dinner, and then you donate like 5 wells. So if you just, you get my point. So there was no real authentic way of doing social. In German language, I don't like the word charity. In English, it's totally fine. but of doing something good without doing bad on the other side. Because this whole, and we had to learn it, we did all the mistakes. I did selfies with black kids, which is totally white saviorism. And I had to learn it because I was an unreflected, young, privileged dude from southern Germany. And when we started Viva Con Agua, but now I know it. Now it's important also to spread the word and tell the people more about the situation, because everything what is happening is connected with each other. And if you do charity here or social business here or social, and you communicate it in the wrong way, it has a negative impact to the people in the global south and in countries like Uganda, Ethiopia.
So, okay, so the idea was not charity, but the idea was social business, which basically means you're running a business, creating profits, and then either in the process of running that business, have a social impact on the, let's say, the stakeholders involved in your projects as well. But also what you're doing is actually also using the profits then for other projects, right? So from what I understood is you're selling water to then, with the profit of that water, finance water projects, or the same with Goldeimer, right? So it's on both sides, I guess. It's in the business itself, but then also in where you're diverting the product. So I'm assuming you're not going with the Muhammad Yunus definition of social business, but you created a very kind of, I would say, lively vision of it, which I really love. But my question would be, why is it so many? I mean, I've seen Viva Con Agua, Goldeimer, Villa Viva, Music Viva Con Padua. You're involved in art. Where does that come? Is it interest, or is it that you feel like there needs to be a multitude of social businesses that work together to have a greater impact? Where does that come from, the multitude of entrepreneurism?
I think it's many reasons. One reason is probably getting bored at some level. Meeting boundaries. Everybody who started a company, there's this one moment when you realize, I cannot change that because I have to speak with 17 people. It will cost me 500 meetings and I'm still not allowed to change it like that. If you have more this kind of cultural organization and not like a top-down thing where you just tell people what to do, when to do, and how to do, which is not our style and was never and hopefully will never be. So I think that the other reason is really like that every organization has limits. When we started Viva Con Agua, it was this charity and we went that way till from 2005 to 2010. Then we realized we have to speed up our level, and yeah, the speed comes with business side. So that's the reason when we started the water business. The arts world was just an idea of doing an art project inside the arena of São Paulo, where we are located. And we realized the people like the idea of art. It inspires people, because this is back to the picture. If I don't show the people the dark side, which is the problem at the end, only to show the destructive side of, or the bad side of the African continent, to show it at one mass and then show HIV, show all the depressing stuff and not the beauty of this continent, 54 countries, the ethnies, the culture and all this kind. But the art can show exactly that. That's the reason why we work with artists, with musicians and stuff like that. And then we did it. And on the way, we realized, hey, there's a business behind it and we can use the business. At the beginning, the gallery, for instance, was charity as well. Now it's a social business and the artist gets a share of 50%. And even in Corona, we gave 300K to artists. So we supported artists only with doing social business. And I think this is for us the way to always try new stuff. So because also on a business level, there's a lot of diversity is always good because you have different perspectives. For instance, we're now building this hotel. We can put in a gallery because we know how to do a gallery. We can write a business plan because we already started the business. We can have toilets on different levels of understanding.
Yeah,
exactly. And so on and so on. So I like diversity, not only in, of course, working with people and cultures, but also on the business driven side.
It's not all about water, right? So it's the diversity of stakeholders and I guess also women empowerment. I mean, with that, we are already at our topic, because we in my collective talk a lot about diversity and trying to push the boundaries here from our side as well. Now, I've seen from what you've sort of posted and said on your social media accounts that you also are very active dad and quite outspoken about a lot of things with regard to parental leave, to sharing emotional load, to sharing care work. But you're also a really active entrepreneur and your wife is the same. So how does that work? Does your day have more than 24 hours or her day, or how do you fit it all in?
I think you said at the very beginning something very interesting, because it's all connected. You cannot take the water topic out of the women topic, out of the sanitation topic, out of the hygiene, of the business topic. If you see the water topic, 560 million people got no water. Normally it's connected to the women. Why? Because you all know this picture of the women carrying the cherry can, and the guy is, in best case, he's working. In a lot of countries, he's not working. He's drinking and a lot of stuff. So that's the biggest problem. It's all connected. The other question, what is, I'm really, it's always thin ice and I have warm socks on me or no socks like today. Because if I speak about this topic, it's always a little bit difficult for me personally. Because all the teachings and lessons I got from my wife, like I told you, I was an unreflected 20-year-old privileged dude from southern Germany, and I had no idea about mental load. I didn't know what the fuck is mental load. I know it now. I have a glimpse of it. But all these lessons I got from my wife. So
what were these lessons, Kevin? Can you share?
I mean, it started with, of course, getting our first beautiful daughter, because at that moment it changed. I couldn't just say I fly to Uganda next week with blah, 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 and I'm back in 2 or 3 weeks. So this was the game changer, actually, like really sharing the responsibility for the kid. And then at the beginning, of course, I was totally overfordered, overstrained. With becoming a father and all these things you have to do. And long story short, the whole workload I had never thought about. I had never thought about all these things like organizing clothes, giving them back to the friends. I would never give them back or make photos of them.
The workload traditionally on the mother's side, right?
Totally. And also like the whole medical stuff, for instance. And my wife, actually, she did one thing, which was eye-opening for me, and also almost every guy I talked to about. Some hate me for that, but because she did a workshop with me, because we're working in this world, and everybody of us had the same kind of methods on workshops. You have the flip chart, and you have three. You have the brainstorming, the prototyping, and the presentation. We all know the skills.
So 1 second, this is a workshop on parenting within the two of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
In the bed. To be precise. And the interesting part for me on a reflection later was that nobody does it actually, which in the family or in the relationship, which is the most important project in your life. If you fuck it up, you have always problems. And everybody knows that if you're not down with your wife or with your boy or whatever, you will not be down with your job. You will not be easy with your friends. You will not have a good life. So get these things straight. And then we did the workshop, and the layers was actually what we have to do on a yearly, monthly, weekly, daily level on a job, like organizing these clothes, taking care of medical stuff, doing taxes as a family, rent, school.
The entire caregiving kind of job load and emotional load, I guess.
Exactly. And then we were analyzing it. Meaning like we put hours behind it and analyzed it. And at the end, it was something like 750 or 760 with my wife. And I had like 200. Yeah. So it's called facts. So and then, of course, we try to adjust it a little bit and make it more fair on a 50 level, which was important for my wife. Honestly, I could have also went on with the other, now I'm really happy and also proud of my wife that she pushed me that way. And this was the first workshop. The second workshop was then we adjusted our skills, but this was 1-2 years later. because, for instance, my father is a doctor, my sister is a doctor, I was an ambulance driver, so I can easily talk to all the doctors and I understand their language, their codes and stuff. So I take care of the whole medical system. I'm easy with...
You didn't split everything 50-50, but you kind of, you had it strength-based.
Yeah, for instance, when I did the taxes, we had problems with 15,000 euros minus with the taxes. So I will not continue doing the taxes. This will be done by my wife, which totally makes sense because so... It, for me, you would never start a business or a whole project without a communication plan, a financial plan, how we talk, how we do meetings and all this kind of stuff. And most relationships I have witnessed don't have any plan at all. They just fall in love, have sex, and then after half a year, the fart starts to stink and you all notice, you've all been there, done that. And then it, the reality comes. But there is not the, I think it's, because we learned these skills, because we all learned the skills, but we don't use them.
Well, you're definitely doing a bit of multitasking while we speak, I have to say, bringing the kids to bed at the same time as giving this interview, which is absolutely fantastic because, okay, so now that you've probably gone up to, I would say, on the charts that you've had in your workshop, probably to 400 to 500 hours or somewhere at least splitting the hours with your wife, you probably also learned a couple of skills on the way that you could then convert into business skills, I guess, converting it back, because you said the business skills are applied now in this workshop to parenting, but I think it also works vice versa. So maybe as my last question to you, which is a question that we ask to all our guests, is can you name maybe one or two parenting skills that you've developed in, during that time that you can now use as a business skill?
I think prioritizing, very difficult word to pronounce, but way more difficult to do because, yeah, you don't have the time to bullshit around. Apart from social media, I have to admit, sometimes this is a problem because it's actually made for not focusing and for distracting you. But yeah, this absolutely focus on what is really relevant. But I also have to say I'm really lucky with my job. You know, I could now say, stop, we have to stop that interview and go out and wouldn't have a bad feeling. I'm my own boss, you know, like I can bring my kid wherever I want to. I had this, the first time actually, my wife was on a project trip to Nepal and was gone for like two and a half weeks. And I had to give a speech at a very conservative law company in Hamburg. So I asked a friend to take care of my little one. He's cool with her and we went there. And they played around and I had to give the speech. And of course, then she cried and wanted to go. So I did the speech like now. And after that, all the people came to me and were, hey, you come on, for Viva Con Agua, you already get props. And then you do it with a sunshine on your, of course, people, hey, so super and so avant-garde and blah, blah, blah. And I just asked two people, would you have said the same thing to my wife or would she have been badly organized? And their face went straight like that because they realized. And this is something which I didn't know before, like learning all these things from my wife, that how different it is. If I take my kid, everybody, oh, he's taking care of his kid. He's having a time with, come on, what the fuck? I'm father. So, so this is really, we have to rewrite this whole narrative.
This is now the best sentence, sorry, because this is our whole slogan, is rewriting the narrative, because that's actually what it is. It's about parenting and really telling the story differently and not seeing it as a career breaker, but actually as a career booster and kind of, and really seeing the skills and also the values of these skills that you can then bring on to your job.
But I would be careful with career booster as well.
Okay.
Because I think it's going like that übersteuern. Because we went always career killer and now we go career booster. And I wouldn't say it's a career booster. It takes a lot of time. I lost like all my freedom, like of flying to another place like that, of doing a festival there, of, you know, I have to reorganize my whole life. I have to ask my wife, can I do that? Can I do that? Can I do that? Can we organize that? Can the au pair take that? Can we bring it to mama, grandmother or something? So I would just say it can be both. It can be both, and we should be really authentic in these, because a lot of times the people tell a lot of bullshit about this parenting. So you go, my wife is laughing. Why you want to join?
Yeah, we will have a family Zoom. That's fantastic. This is what happens if you do it even in calls. Guys, thank you so much for being with us. And I do agree, you have to see it in a relative sense. It's like it's not like the parental leave will be the time when you boost your career. I think for us, it's more important that this is the time when you decide on how you want to approach your professional life post-parental leave, and that you can actually combine it both. And maybe, and this is what you've shown pretty straightforward, is that you have to discuss not only with your superior and your company, but also with your partner about how you're going to do that. So I will remember this workshop of yours and it might quote you on this in the future. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, Micha. Bye.
Welcome.